I don't think we've ever seen anything like this before.
Two brothers.
Harley's got all the facts tonight. Jasper is a trivia weapon. Get out of his way.
A bunch of trivia questions.
Trivia is cool, and that makes these guys two cool guys.
Everything's on the line in today's episode of...
How do they keep getting it right?
Trivia Champ or Trivia Chump?
Giddy up, it's trivia time here on Trivia Champ or Trivia Chump. My name is Jasper, I'm one of your two co-hosts here. Joining me is my brother, Harley. Harley, you have a fun fact to bring us in for this episode number two.
Okay, so in my research for today's episode, I found out that there is one Australian state slash territory which celebrates May Day.
Okay, what,
in
is,
May.
What is May? I've literally never heard of this.
I don't know. I didn't prod
air crashes.
I didn't prod into it any further. I think it's a Russian holiday as well. I don't think it has anything to do with Russian influence in this part of Australia.
Okay.
But
can I have a guess?
May Day. Have a guess, yeah.
Is it a state or territory?
State or territory.
One of the main ones?
Or yeah, is it like yeah. It's not it's not like Christmas Island or like Jervis Bay territory.
That'd be more interesting if it was.
It would be, yeah.
I think, yeah. I'm going to say that it's some fucking weird Western Australian thing that they've got going on.
Close. It's possibly a weirder place than WA.
Yeah.
The Northern Territory does May Day.
Why?
No idea. I didn't go look into it any further.
Sometimes when there are fun facts and like we hear the facts, sometimes it's like nice to have the little like
context. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? We can leave that for the listeners. That can be a little.
That's
project.
Homework. That's homework.
That's your homework.
They also do Territory Day, which looks wild.
Yeah,
know, lots of illegal fireworks and stuff.
I think when you're like from one of the smaller states or territories in Australia, you have more state pride. Like, I don't have...
For sure.
I like New South Wales. Don't get me wrong. No issues with it. But, like, I feel like I don't associate a lot of my identity with being from New South Wales.
But, I mean, that being said, a lot of Queenslanders are very proud of it. You know, I've got...
That's what I mean. They're a bit smaller than us. That's why they care.
Are they? Like, how many people are in Queensland compared to New South Wales?
But, no, I just mean that, like, there is that sort of slightly younger brother thing about...
Yeah, yeah.
About Queensland.
Yeah, okay. Have you got a fun fact for me?
I do, yeah. My fun fact that this wasn't in my research. I just learned this week. The folk singer Gillian Welch. Do you know who that is?
No.
All right. Well, that's not going to be interesting for you. But Gillian Welch's parents were producers on the Star Wars Christmas special. That's what I learned this week.
Wow.
Which is famously really bad. It is actually around Christmas time at the moment as we're recording. It won't be when people are listening to it. But people are aware of Christmas as a concept, I imagine. And if they're not, just Google that as well while you're Googling May Day. But
Christmas and May Day, they're the most magical times of the year.
You've got a lot to catch up on if you don't know what Christmas is. But... No, I learned that this week because they were musical entertainers and they worked on the Star Wars Christmas special, which was kind of like it was in the late 1970s after the first movie when they were trying to sort of cash in on the Star Wars franchise.
Right, okay.
And it was like a variety show vibe. So there's lots of songs and things like that.
I'm just imagining like it's a variety show and they'll have to show their talents and like Darth Vader's got a weird amount of confidence in his singing ability.
Or like stand up, like... What's the deal with the Death Star? Yeah. No, I don't think it is like that. I think, regrettably, the main character... I actually haven't watched it, so I probably shouldn't comment too much. But I think the main characters are largely sidelined from it. And it's kind of set mostly on Chewbacca's home planet with, like, Chewbacca's family. And, like, it's them. They're, like, kind of the stars of it.
Doesn't Chewbacca famously not speak, though? Like, do people on his planet just go, like...
No, that was very good.
Thank you.
Well, no, legit, there are bits in it, because I have done quite a bit of research into this. There are bits in it where it's just Ewoks talking.
Like that?
Like that, with no subtitles. No, legit.
I want to watch this.
It's got 2.1 out of 10 on IMDb.
That's very festive.
How good is that?
That is very festive.
All right, well, so God bless us, everyone. Let's get right into the trivia, I think. I think let's hear the rules and we can get underway.
Harley and Jasper have nominated three special subjects to be quizzed on by the other person. The three special subject round will feature five questions for each contestant. The trivia champ will be the person who answers the most questions correctly by the end of the game.
So that's the rules of engagement for today's game, and indeed any other game. Let's crack right into round one. Harley, you'll be hearing questions about short unions. What am I going to be hearing questions about?
You're going to be hearing about origins.
I like this. This is weirdly kind of a bit of a rugby subtext of unions versus origins.
I know.
It's state versus state, mate versus mate.
Exactly.
In a way.
Yeah.
All right, well, I reckon we should just start. I'm going to start with short unions. Are you ready?
Ready.
Round one.
Okay. By the way, I'm the defending champ here, so you actually have a bit of ground to make up. You don't want to go 0-2 at the start of the season, I don't reckon.
Come on. All right. Okay, let's crack into it.
Question one in short unions. Not to be confused with the Seinfeld actor of the same name, Jason Alexander wedded a pop starlet in Las Vegas in 2004, but unfortunately, his marriage with the singer, a childhood friend, did not go to plan. The pair had their union annulled only 55 hours after they were wedded. Name this singer who released her fourth studio album, In The Zone, the year prior to the ill-fated marriage.
So, marriage in 2004.
Yeah.
To someone called Jason Alexander.
Yeah.
Not from Seinfeld.
Yeah, it's not George from Seinfeld. Although this does sound like quite a good episode of Seinfeld. What are you doing? Why did you marry her? Come on.
Released an album.
Her fourth studio album was in 2003.
I think I'm going to make an educated guess on this.
Yeah.
I think Jennifer Lopez married one of her backup singers in a really like a 1 year marriage or something in the late 90s when she was very young. And she might have form for doing that kind of thing. So I'm going to guess Jennifer Lopez.
Look, it's not a bad guess. You're in the ballpark. It was actually Britney Spears.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that Jennifer Lopez stuff does come up when you're searching short celebrity marriages. But Britney Spears, the annulment said that Spears, quote, lacked understanding of her actions to the extent that she was incapable of agreeing to the marriage. Spears went on to marry dancer, DJ and actor Kevin Federline later in 2004, but the pair divorced in 2007. She married actor Sam Asghari, an actor 12 years her junior, in 2022, but the pair actually recently
celebrated. Recently, I remember that.
So that's a shame. I think Jason Alexander, like I've read interviews, he was actually kind of like devo about it, which I guess you would if you thought you were going to, you'd be a bit sad if you almost married Britney Spears and then after 55 hours, she said, sorry, no.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Poor Britney, I don't know. If he was a childhood friend, surely she would know, he would know the kind of things Britney goes through.
Yeah, maybe, you know? Anyway, let's leave Britney alone and go on to question two in short unions. Lasting formally between 1970 and 1974, ALCORA was a military alliance between three countries, each hoping to monitor and repel guerrilla forces from infiltrating their territories in southern Africa. Yep. The alliance was between South Africa, Rhodesia, as it was then known, and which European nation in southern Africa?
European nation in southern Africa. I'm actually quite well versed on the socio-political dynamics of southern Africa in the 70s, believe it or not.
Are you really?
I would think that this would likely be, as it was called at the time, Southwest Africa, now known as Namibia. What other countries are there? I don't want to stab to conclusions because Namibia and South Africa were quite well connected at the time. I don't think it's Angola because Angola had a lot of, it had like SWAPO. Actually, but that was where all the guerrilla activity was occurring. I think the Angolan government themselves, which is Portuguese, was backed by South Africa and there were like a million, guerrilla things. I'm going to go Portugal for the Angolan link there.
You're on the board, mate. Well done. Well deduced. The alliance dissolved amid the Carnation Revolution, which was a military coup that overthrew Portuguese Prime Minister Marcelo Caetano in 1974. So the mostly peaceful coup had been triggered by Mozambique, Guinea-Bissau, and Angola's long struggles for independence from Portugal. Right. And Guinea-Bissau was first to get independence in 1974 with Mozambique and Angola following in 1975. Okay, so you're one out of two there. Well done. Question three. Stuart Sutcliffe was the original bass guitarist for the Beatles from between 1960 and 1961, but left the band to pursue a career in which other art form?
I think Stuart Sutcliffe was like a sculptor or a graphic artist or something. He this was like in the Berlin era in Germany.
Correct.
And he died really young of a brain tumor.
We're going to get to that actually not very fun fact, more a tragic fact, but we're going to get to that at the end, but he did die quite young.
I think he was like he was wacky before the rest of the Beatles were wacky. I think he was it's not like beat poetry, but it's something very hippy dippy. I'm going to say that graphic artist is too generic, isn't it?
You can be broad with this.
I can be broad?
Yep.
I want to say that he was a graphic artist.
He was a painter. So I don't. I might give you half points on that because you were kind of close. With, like, you were kind of visual arts spec.
Yeah.
So Sutcliffe was actually quite a gifted painter. But yeah, anyone about to say that Sutcliffe would have regretted quitting the Beatles for the rest of his life would actually be wrong because, like you said, he died of a brain hemorrhage at only age 21 in April 1962, 5 months before the Beatles recorded Love Me Do, which was their breakout single. So the exact cause of Sutcliffe's hemorrhage has never actually been determined, but according to his sister, a post-mortem on his like skull like had like a dent in the skull that might have been as a result of a fight. So they reckon that maybe had some bearing, but it's kind of never really been conclusively said, which is very sad, very tragic. Yeah. And like you say, he was a very artsy sort of dude, and he actually, I think, attended an art school in Germany when he left the Beatles.
Yes, yeah.
I think he had like a girlfriend partner. Oh, sorry, a German partner. Girlfriend partner.
Was it? It wasn't Berlin either. It was Hamburg.
I think it was Hamburg. Yeah. All right. Question four: the list of U.S. states that have a Union Jack on their flag is a short one. In fact, only one state, the 40th most populous as of July 2022, has the Union Jack on its flag. Name that state.
I'm pretty confident on this one. Really? It's Hawaii.
Do you want to talk through your reasoning before I... Just to give the listeners a little bit of time to ponder?
I can visualize the Hawaiian flag. It's a Union Jack in the top left corner, and then it's stripes that I think are red, white, and blue. Or maybe just red and white, or just... No, I think it's red, white, and blue.
Well, I can tell you that Hawaii is the correct answer, and I can actually tell you exactly why it is on the flag. British naval officer George Vancouver of Vancouver the City fame... he presented the Union Jack to Hawaii's conquering king.
Don't worry about it.
The conquering king. He presented it to him, who was uniting the islands into a single state at the time. Big job, by the way. The Union Jack itself flew as the unofficial flag of Hawaii until 1816, when advisors to the king suggested the addition of red, white, and blue stripes. So today the flag features the Union Jack in the top corner, and then... eight other stripes that represent the major islands of Hawaii.
So this conquering king is like the Garibaldi of Hawaii.
You could call him that.
Wow.
That'd be easier to say than...
Yeah, we'll call him Garibaldi of Hawaii.
Kamehameha.
I like that.
I think
to all our Hawaiian listeners this time of year, Malei Kalikimaka.
To all the Hawaiian listeners, I'm so sorry. Question five. While playing for the Swansea-based Ospreys in 2019... Welsh rugby player Dan Evans received what is widely credited as the quickest red card in rugby union history. Within 5 seconds, how long into the game was Evans dismissed from the field in his side's clash with French team Racing 92?
Okay. There are some sports that really... rugby is a very refined game. Yep. There are some sports where, like... swearing, you can get sent off, and you could want to swear in the first few seconds. But I don't think rugby would get a red card for that. I reckon the ball would have to at least basically be in play, need to have been a kickoff, and maybe one really ruthless hit from like a forward on a tiny guy, high tackle, spear tackle, that kind of thing. I'm going to say that it would have been 15 seconds into the game.
So, again, I'm tempted to give you half points here because the actual incident happened about 20 seconds into the game, but it's not until the game was stopped at 37 seconds that he was dismissed. Yes.
And was that what happened? Was it a kickoff and a really brutal hit?
So, essentially, Evans jumps into the air to catch the ball from a kick and his foot accidentally connects with the face of Racing 92 winger Teddy Thomas, which if you watch it,
not a very French name.
It's how you say Teddy Thomas.
Je m'appelle Teddy Thomas.
If you watch it, like it's like very painful, but it's also like you know when in rugby, like they jump up and catch the ball and they're kind of like trying to not kick, but like they're trying to put their upper body sort of back so that they don't sort of fall forward. So anyway, it's a bit of that, and he got a red card and he received a 4-week ban. But like it's pretty
innocuous.
It's painful and it hurt, but it's very like accidental.
I'll graciously accept half
points. I think half points is fair on that because, yeah, you did, like, your reasoning was pretty much correct.
And it
was
15 off, seconds is within 5 seconds. Within 5 seconds.
Man, it was very close. I'm feeling generous today, aren't I? So,
well, it's that giving spirit around Christmas time.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, I'm sure, when people will be listening to this. So you finished round one, short unions, with 3 out of 5. A commendable effort, Harley.
Oh, thank you very much, Jasper. Thank you.
So what have I got in store for Origins?
Who founded in 2000 the private American aerospace, defense, and space technology firm Blue Origin, which is one of 3 companies to launch a successful space tourism project?
Man, I absolutely glitch on these. Like, I get them all confused. Yeah. Did you say it was British?
American.
Okay, so I thought Blue Origin in my head, I had that in my head was Richard Branson. But if it's American, I don't think so.
Hmm.
I think, like, look, my answer, I think, is going to be Elon Musk, because I think it's the kind of thing... Like, he obviously has interest in space, but I, like I say, I absolutely glitch on these. I can't remember. It's like, there's like a Bezos one, a Branson one, and a Elon Musk one, and it's just something I find so hard to commit to memory with trivia.
Mm.
Actually, now that I've said Bezos aloud, I reckon it could be Bezos. So I'm going to go for Jeff Bezos.
You are correct. It is Jeff Bezos.
That's now maybe that it's happened on the podcast, I will actually remember this once and for all, because, like, literally, I reckon I've had this question at trivia and said Elon Musk.
We had it once, and I was there, and I said Jeff Bezos. We got it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you'd remember it from... That was a couple of years back, though, okay. At Rock.
Shout out. Was it with trivia the other night?
You've told me that, and it makes me so upset. The fact that goes fairly right... Maybe we shouldn't dox celebrities for this.
You know what? I'll beat them, because... Yeah. The fact that... that guy goes is very cool, and like no one really hassles him, like we gotta beep that again. I'll be busy beeping, but he goes, and I actually have a bit to do with him through work, as a sports writer.
Good guy.
Really? Oh, I think so. I think he's a really good guy.
Awesome.
But yeah, anyway, so
maybe we should beep the trivia night name as well.
Yeah.
People actually just rock up to see, hope celebrities will be there. No, okay, no. 1 point from one there you go. Okay, this one's multiple choice.
Okay.
Which of the following is not a real video game installment? Sonic Origins, Donkey Kong Jungle Fever Origins, Rayman Origins, or Batman Arkham Origins?
Okay, I think Arkham Origins is real. I feel like there's definitely Arkham Asylum, mm-hmm. or Arkham something. I reckon Arkham Origins is a thing, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Rayman Origins... Jeez, I don't know about that one. Jungle Fever Origins. Jungle Fever Origins is like, I got bitten by a mosquito, now I've got Jungle Fever. That was the origin of my fever. What was the first one, sorry?
Sonic Origins, is in the Hedgehog.
Which of these origin stories would be the least interesting? Donkey Kong, like, kicking around the jungle? That actually sounds kind of interesting. Rayman, which I think is the weird, like, rabbits. Like, there's probably, like, some... I reckon that could be kind of interesting. Sonic Origins. What would be interesting about it? It's like a hedgehog kicking around. Nah, I reckon Sonic Origins is fake. And I reckon it's a ploy from you that you put it first to, like, make me think, like, oh, yeah, that's probably true, rather than, like, disguising it in the middle. So I'm going to go for Sonic Origins is fake.
I wish it was. No, Donkey Kong Jungle Fever Origins is not a video game. I was going to think of a really, like... I was going to make it, like, Mario and, like... Mario the Apprenticeship Origins. I reckon Mario the Apprenticeship Origins would be good. Like, there'd be different levels of him, like, with a boss that he doesn't like, and then, like, he considers giving up plumbing and just, like, having a bricklaying job, but no, he goes back, you know, and his brother Luigi helps him out. Yeah.
Level 5, Mario works for Gary from Frankston as a plumber.
Level 5, Mario takes a gap year and backpacks Australia.
Alright, okay. Sensational. I can't believe it, mate. I'm Jungle Fever Origins.
Yeah.
Let's make it a thing here and now. Nintendo, if you're listening,
get in touch. The short-run International Origin Series of Rugby League was played from 2011 to 2013 between a team of English players and against who?
The short run?
Yeah, like 3 seasons of it. International Origin played from 2011 to 2013 between English players and a team of who?
Yeah, I think I might know this. I know that they definitely did, and it may have even been around this time, a team of, like, it was called, like, Exiles, and it was, like, a team of, like, overseas players, like, from whichever other country. It was basically, like, England versus the world. And I literally think it was called Exiles. It was, like, Australian players that had gone over there, and like, because for whatever reason, couldn't really make a go of it in the NRL, play in the Super League. So I'm going to say, like, yeah, just that. Like, countries from around the world that are not England, and it's called Exiles.
You are correct.
Sweet.
Exiles. All the players basically came from the Antipodes. Pacific Islanders, Australians, Kiwis.
Yeah.
Some pretty notable players. Brett Hodgson, Steve Menzies, Jared Sammet all played for Exiles. Oh, yeah. I mean, they were sort of in the Super League having come out of the NRL.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is an interesting concept. You know, British players that didn't make the NRL versus Australian players that are done with the NRL.
Yeah, like, but British players often, like, don't make the jump over, even if they are quite good over there. Like, it can depend. But, like, okay. You can, like, have a full career and be, like, a really distinguished English player and not come out to Australia. Whereas I feel like if you were a really distinguished Australian player,
you're not going to the
UK. You probably wouldn't go to England for rugby league. Sure. But, well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, four matches played in total. Each team won two matches.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought the Aussies would have... I guess if they're the Aussies that go over there, though, so it's not like Cameron Smith and Billy Slater are playing.
No, I don't think they really were vying too hard for an Exiles jersey.
The one representative jersey missing from Billy Slater. It haunts him to this day.
No, very well done, very well done. Okay. Which French term is occasionally used in lieu of the word origin in the phrase origin story?
Oh.
Mm.
Jeez, I should know this. I did 6 years of high school French.
That's why I asked.
Went to France.
Oui, oui.
We've had a crack at the French pretty comfortably today. I think I should park that. Nah, probably not. Keep doing it. So can you just... What's the phrase? Instead of origin story, it's like...
It's this word story. It's an it's a phrase in English.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as much as, like... It's one of those things that online says is a synonym. I don't know how many people are going around using this, but...
You know, I'm not going to say it, and I reckon as soon as you tell me the answer, I'm going to kick myself. But I'm going to say entr'acte. What?
It's a pourquoi story.
Oh.
Never heard
pourquoi story, like a why story.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that. So that's actually a good result, because I thought I was going to be kicking myself for the rest of the game.
It's not. Don't let it get to your head.
So it's a why story, as in like why they became the way they are.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Awesome. Final question.
Yeah.
Another French tilt, so we can have a bit of a...
Trevian.
Origins is a nature-tilted cosmetic brand founded by the son of which female American cosmetic entrepreneur with a very French name?
Oh, I reckon, like, okay. If I'm thinking French cosmetic names, I mean, a particular field of interest for me, cosmetics.
Yeah, yeah.
Estee Lauder would be one that would come up, maybe. Like Coco Chanel. That's not really cosmetics. You know what? I'm just going to say as little as possible in this because it's going to reveal how little I know about cosmetics. I'm going to say Estee Lauder.
You're absolutely correct.
I'll get in.
And I'll just point out that through work, I actually get an Estee Lauder discount.
You do?
I don't know why.
Wait, through working as a regional airline pilot? Yes. How does that work?
It came up on the notices page. It was like, update to like company benefits. And we were like, oh yeah, we're getting staff travel on another airline. Click on it. And it was like 10% off Estee Lauder. And we're like...
Mate, just in time for Christmas, with probably a lot of guys that work there that were stumped about what to buy their partner. That's good.
I don't know like what Estee Lauder...
I think it's pronounced Estee Lauder. I don't think it's Estee Lauder.
I don't know.
But I don't know
why. I don't know what they get in return, but the products of Origins include the plant scription and a mask of rose clay.
That sounds good.
It's actually quite a big... Like, they've got, like, hundreds of stores across the world, apparently.
Of Estee Lauder Origins?
No, of Origins, yeah. It's just called Origins, but it is owned by the Estee... whatever.
Do we have an Estee?
No, I don't think so.
It's a shame.
I feel like I gave you enough clues to just get it.
I could go a rose clay mask right this very minute.
But oh, it's been a stressful Christmas period for me, too.
All right. So, at the end of round one, I think we're both on... I think we're 3-all.
Yep.
A tightly run
affair.
Three for five. a tightly run affair heading into round two.
Round two.
Category that you've selected for round two is historical losses. What am I going to be hearing questions about?
You are going to be hearing questions about... Stop it. I don't like it.
Which I think from now on, we have to say it like a child. Like, stop it. I don't like it. Or in some sort of... Doesn't have to be that, but like some sort of childlike.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But before that, historical losses. Question one. Stanley Bruce became the first sitting Australian Prime Minister to lose his seat during a federal election and the only one to do so until John Howard in 2007. Bruce may have dodged a bullet, though, because what major historical event transpired only 2 days after his successor, James Scullin, was sworn in as the 8th Prime Minister of Australia, casting a shadow over Scullin's 2.5 years in office?
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm pretty comfortable.
What time period are you thinking?
I'm thinking... Actually, there are photos of Stanley Melbourne Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've long wondered if we're distantly related to
Uncle
him.
Stan? Let's say we are. And let's put it in this podcast so it's historical fact.
Yep. There are photographs of him. They're very old-timey photographs. Mm. 8th Prime Minister. A lot of the early Prime Ministers didn't last very long, you know?
So Stanley Melbourne Bruce was the 7th. This guy, James Scullin was the 8th, if that helps.
I'm going to say... See, I wanted to say the Great Depression. That would mean, though, if he was the 7th one, the Great Depression was the late 20s, that would mean each of them had lasted for 4 years, okay?
Yeah, give or take, yep.
Other one that comes to mind is World War One. That would mean each of them had lasted for, you know, 1901 to 1914. Each of them lasted for 2 years, a bit under.
We are pretty good at churning through prime ministers very quickly in this country.
But like I said, there are photos of Stanley Melbourne Bruce. They're not really bad quality ones. They're not like ones that were like flashed on silver and people stood still for like 10 minutes. Like they're like him out and about, you know, him like posing for a photo in Parliament, him having a kebab after a big night out.
Stan on Lygon Street at 4 a.m.
Well, he was a Melbournian. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Oh, was that one of the fun facts? Oh, no, I had that in the question.
I'm going to say the Great Depression.
Yeah, correct. It was the 1929 Wall Street stock market crash and then the ensuing Great Depression. So, colloquially known as Black Thursday, October 24, 1929, is generally regarded as sort of the epicenter of the stock market earthquake, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But kind of the market had kind of been cruising for a fall a little bit before then. The US enjoyed an economic boom in the 1920s.
Mm, the Roaring Twenties.
The Roaring Twenties, exactly, which encouraged Americans to invest heavily in the stock market. But once the market began to decline, as markets tend to do, the rush to offload the stocks led to a devastating market crash. Yep. But actually, as for Stanley Bruce, he won his seat back in December of 1931. So he kind of just dodged that really tough period. Mm. Well, kind of, 1931, things aren't fully back to better, but... Yeah, I mean, he dodged like sort of the really hard
stuff. I wonder what he got up to in that time. I wonder if he's like a side character in like The Grapes of Wrath or something.
Yeah, he just, you know, he just saw the world backpacking around Europe with Mario. All right, so well done. You're off to a flyer here. 1 out of 1. Question 2. When art researcher Gergely Barkey sat down to watch a beloved family film with his daughter in 2009, a painting in the set dressing caught his eye. Barkey recognised the painting in the background of the family home in which the film is set and knew it to be Sleeping Lady with Black Vase, a painting by Hungarian artist Robert Bereny, thought to have been lost since at least World War II. In the background of which 1999 film, based on a book by E.B. White, did Barkey see the picture?
I only know one E.B. White book.
What is it?
Well, I don't want to sound dumb if I'm wrong. Charlotte's Web, right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, but the Charlotte's Web movie came out when I was a kid. Yeah. And while I was a kid in 1999, I would not remember at that age.
I would say, like, it's... You could believe that this bloke wrote the book, like, based off Charlotte's Web. You could believe that this bloke wrote this other book. Like, it's not like...
Talking animals.
It's not like Die Hard or like Schindler's List.
Jingle all the way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that one's based on a book. No. It is actually. It's based on a book by Thomas Hardy, the influential
It's a Steinbeck novel.
Yeah. It's about like the destruction of man's psyche in middle America.
It
kind of is, and Steinbeck books are kind of about that.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to know the book. I'm going to vaguely know that it's by E.B. White. I reckon Mary Poppins might make some animals talk. That's definitely based on a book. That's definitely roughly the E.B. White. I'm going to go... And there's a house in it. So I'm going to go Mary Poppins.
So you were kind of on the right lines. It's Stuart Little.
Oh! So
after being purchased at a Pasadena antique shop, the painting, Sleeping Lady with Black Vase, was used as set dressing for Stuart Little before being tracked down by the art historian and was ultimately sold at auction for $285,700. Can you imagine, though, sitting down and just watching a movie and you're an art researcher in this story and you're watching going, that's weird, that painting looks a bit... Can you, like, can you imagine, like, the eureka moment that guy must have had?
Can you imagine really the kid, like... Old mate art research pauses it and goes, is that? And the kid's like, talking mouse!
Dad. I think, like, when I was reading this, I think actually, it's funny you say that, he didn't have, like, the facility to pause it. I think, I don't know if it was like a TV movie or something.
Well, that is the kind of movie that just showed.
He didn't have Foxtel, so this is why you get Foxtel IQ.
I tell you what, if he sold it for $285 million, I think he'd be buying Foxtel.
Oh, it's $285,000. Still pretty good. But
still enough for Foxtel for maybe like 6 months.
I think from memory, I'm pretty sure that's right that he didn't, but like the picture's on screen quite a bit. So he was like, oh, there it is again. And kind of got a fairly good look at it. But that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Other than Mercury, which is the only planet in our solar system without a moon, some theories hold that this planet lost its moon in a collision long ago that destroyed the moon or affected its orbit.
Okay. I'm pretty sure the smaller it is, the less gravitational pull it's got.
Yep.
Less chance it's got of having a moon.
Mm-hmm.
Pluto's not a planet.
Correct.
Cool. Thank you very much, Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you're listening.
He is.
Yeah. Shout out to Neil. I'm going to say, like, logic stipulates it's probably Venus. It's the second closest. I think that has something to do with gravitational pull if it's closer, you know, hotter. I just think logically probably that. Then we've got one, and the further out they go, the more they've got. So I'm going to go Venus.
Yeah, you're correct. So with 95 moons, Jupiter... Actually, this is a moon fact. This isn't about Venus. With 95 moons, Jupiter briefly overtook Saturn as the planet with the most moons in February this year, when 12 moons were added to its tally by the International Astronomical Union. The discovery of 62 new moons of Saturn brought its tally to a combined total of 145 in May, and it now has more moons than the rest of the planets in the solar system combined.
Imagine the tides on that place.
Yeah, actually crazy.
Yeah.
62 moons, where were they? Just in the other genes.
Yeah, like, oh, we didn't look on that.
Yeah, oh, I forgot to carry the one. Like, but to be fair, I've got here in my notes, in recent decades, the number of moons confirmed has increased with technological advances. Okay, great. So you've got 2 out of 3 so far, and that ain't bad, as Meatloaf would say.
Mm-hmm.
Question 4.
R.I.P.
King. All right, question 4. The origin of which deadly disease's name can be traced back to post-World War I censorship that deterred the majority of European papers from reporting on its original outbreak? As many as 100 million lives are estimated to have been lost as a result of this disease. What do you think?
So this was like the last pandemic before COVID. Finally, about 100 years before COVID. And, you know, I'm pretty confident it's called the Spanish flu. Almost exactly post-World War I, the world was going through some stuff, so I'm going to go the Spanish flu.
You're correct. The flu did not originate in Spain at all, but because Spain had remained neutral in World War I, Spanish press reported the outbreak earlier than the likes of England or France, so the disease became associated with the country.
Right.
I mean, there was Spanish flu in Spain, but it wasn't because of Spain that that outbreak happened.
Interesting, yeah.
So you're actually going really well here, mate. You're on 3 out of 4, leading into question 5, in historical losses. Which 3-time NRL Grand Final winning hooker lost his 2014 Premiership ring only for it to resurface 18 months later when Northern Territory police raided the home of an alleged Rebels bikie gang member during a drug bust? This player was largely unknown when he replaced the suspended Isaac Luke in the historically significant 2014 Grand Final, but has gone on to become a New South Wales State of Origin representative, win back-to-back Grand Finals at another club, and is currently club captain at yet another.
Okay.
Lots to take in there.
Lots and lots to take in there. So, I like the thought that the cop busts into a drug bust and sees like a little ring on the ground and goes, hang on a second.
I don't know if it's got his name on it.
But I'm all thinking, oh, when I was down in New South Wales, he came in and he reported stuff.
Yeah. I was the same cop.
I'm joking.
It's looking like Grand Theft Auto when all the cops look at the same person.
Yeah. Look, okay. Currently, the back-to-back clubs, recent times. Sounds like he's still playing, so 2014 Premiership. I don't know who was even in the 2014 Premiership.
He replaced Isaac Luke. Do you remember Isaac Luke?
Yeah, Isaac Luke played for a few clubs, though.
He did, that's true.
And I can't... Yeah, but club captain Hooker, current, or close to current, back-to-back in recent times. Penrith went back-to-back. So he won back-to-back or played?
Yeah, he won back-to-back grand finals.
I don't know who else has gone back-to-back. Melbourne Storm and Penrith Panthers both went back-to-back. Three-time premiership winning hooker. You would like such as... I'll know the name for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't have any ability to guess anything logical, so I'm going to basically pass.
That's okay. The name of the bloke is Appy Curacao.
Yep.
So you're correct. Penrith. You nailed it down to Penrith.
Yep.
The Storm actually didn't win back-to-back grand finals. The Roosters won back-to-back in 18-19. And then you're right, Panthers as well in 21, 22 and 23.
Mm-hmm.
But Curacao has since moved on to the West Tigers as their captain.
Yeah, okay.
So he
wouldn't
played...
be hard to be the captain.
Yeah,
yeah.
At the moment. Well, he played in the 2014 grand final with South Sydney, but he last recalled seeing his 2014 premiership ring when he went to the opening of a new gym that a friend had invited him to.
Mm.
And then the $8,000 ring turned up among a haul of steroids, meth, and cannabis in Darwin. It was later returned to Curacao, though. So you finished historical losses with 3 out of 5, so you're so far cruising pretty well at 6 out of 10.
Awesome, awesome. You ready to hear your next category?
I'm ready, and stop it. Okay.
This one starts off with a quote. It's like an English question for the HSC. I do not like broccoli, and I haven't liked it since I was a little kid. And my mother made me eat it. And now I'm president of the United States and I'm not going to eat any more broccoli. Is a quote by George H.W. Bush. I knew you'd know that.
Yeah.
Which two noteworthy women held signs stating, let's put broccoli in the White House again as part of a campaign in the 1992 election?
Two notable women.
Hmm.
Okay. The 1992 election. So I reckon Bill Clinton was the... Democratic nominee, perhaps, for that specific election. So I reckon maybe Hillary Clinton might be a good shout. Maybe Hillary and Chelsea Clinton could be the two notable women. I don't really have anything to go on other than that is perhaps a good line of thinking. So I'm going to say Hillary Clinton as my guess for this.
Two women. I want both.
You need both?
Well, I'll give you half mark.
Okay.
Get one.
All right. Well, I'm going to say Hillary and Chelsea Clinton.
So you got a half mark for that.
Okay.
Okay. And I love your line of thinking. Other one was the second lady who became the second lady.
Oh, would that be Al Gore's wife, maybe?
Yeah, whose name is?
I'm not sure, sorry.
Oh, it's a pretty notable name. Tipper Gore.
Oh, that's a good name.
Yeah.
Strong name.
You know why she's called that?
No.
She liked tipping cows.
Wait, what's tipping cows?
I don't know.
Oh.
I was hoping... I've always assumed it's pushing them over so they fall. I think it had something to do with kind of like, I don't know, like there's a practical benefit to tipping them over for something, I think. I don't know.
It definitely sounds like an AFL nickname.
Like, Tipper. Like, there's even another quote, which is basically like, I don't care if I don't get the broccoli vote. You know, if you want the broccoli vote from me, Barbara Bush loves broccoli, eats it all the time, tries to get me to eat it, so she can campaign on the behalf of broccoli, but I'm steadfast in my opinion.
It just seems a weird hill to die on for a grown man running to be the president of the most significant Western superpower in the world.
Yeah. It also made a feature in his eulogy from George W. Bush.
Really?
It was like, it was some joke, you know. I don't think George W. Bush can go too long without a bit of a joke, but like, he was steadfast about his opinions, even ones that were unpopular. Hated his broccoli.
That's exactly his cadence of voice as well. Like,
Okay, so I'm going to give you half a mark.
Okay, sweet. That's very generous of you.
Okay, so Dunkin' Donuts has repeatedly opened and closed stores in which Asian country, failing to capture local palates despite locally tilted cardamom and almond flavours such as Kesar Badam and San Papdi?
Okay, well, this sounds sort of subcontinent, I reckon. Like, and I would reckon that it's got to be a country that's big enough that it's worth having a real crack at. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to... If you don't nail the Bhutanese market, maybe it's not that big of an issue.
Mm.
But maybe if you don't nail the Indian market, you want to go back and have another crack because it's a big country. So, I'm going to say this could potentially be India.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely correct.
Sweet.
Absolutely correct. I remember in high school geography actually learning about this. And when I went to Google it, because I went like, stop it, I don't like it. They stopped doing it and because they don't like
it. That's great, yeah. That's smart.
Brilliant. I Googled it. And it's literally happened like two waves since.
Wow.
It was like 2013. It was like Starbucks in Australia. The first time they just pulled the pin, they brought it back. But like there's so many articles spread over such a long amount of time about Dunkin', like have they fully given up on India?
Do you, when you went to India quite recently, like...
I did not see a Dunkin' Donuts.
I know, but like in terms of desserts, like what's the sort of... If you're like after...
Indian desserts are beautiful.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
What is it kind of like?
Like, you know what a ghee is, right? Like
they have
like it's kind of like ghee and almondy based, which aren't like strongly sweet flavors. They're quite neutral, and then with like a little bit of spice and a little bit of sweetness. If you ever go to an Indian restaurant, just pick out some desserts.
Really good.
Like, yeah, as good as Indian mains, I reckon. Indian food, I reckon, is about my favorite cuisine in the world.
Because it's not like kind of Indian cuisine is not really known for its desserts.
No,
probably.
But man, Indian cuisine is so healthy. And the desserts are no exception. It's not like you go to a Chinese restaurant and get fried ice cream. I'm sure it's not Chinese as fried ice cream is. But, man, yeah, Indian, like, desserts, absolutely beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah, like, very very kind of aromatic spice-based, like the rest of the cuisine. Yeah.
That sounds good, like cinnamon sort of stuff?
Yeah, cardamom, cinnamon.
You'd reckon that maybe donuts might have worked, but clearly not.
Mm.
Stop trying Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing blamed on the fact that they think Indians are very health conscious and perhaps not likely to go for it. But there's other fast... There's fast food that's quite big.
Yeah, yeah.
There, you know?
The CEO of Dunkin' Donuts, Duncan M. Donut, would be very upset, I'm sure.
Okay, so next in... Okay, thanks for doing that for me, is... What band notoriously asked in contracts for a bowl of M&Ms in their backstage area with no brown M&Ms?
Yeah, I know this. And I don't want to jump on your like fun fact at the end.
I haven't written it because I thought you'd probably know it. And I thought you might know the fact but forget the band.
Yeah. Well, I'm quite sure that this is Van Halen as the band. But people like sort of chalk this up as like the ultimate diva rock star request, and it's almost I think become a bit of like a sort of like that classic example,
like an
of
urban legend.
Oh, like rock stars, mate, they want stupid stuff, you know, Van Halen, blah blah, but like the reason they do it is because they put it like in their rider to make sure that the people at the venue have actually read their contract, because it's like if we rock up into the dressing room and we see a bowl that's got brown M&Ms, we know that they haven't actually read the contract, so they might not be able to operate our stage show properly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep,
so it's a big red flag, and it's an easy way to check that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm going to say Van Halen, and that's the fun fact that goes with it. Correct?
Absolutely correct. Absolutely
sweet.
Correct. Yeah, I think we first learned that watching an episode of Spicks and Specks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It sounds like a Spicks and Specks sort of fact.
I think it was like a three requests from bands. You have to match it with the band.
Mm.
One of the others, I can't remember the band, was extra long extension leads so they can throw televisions out the window while they're still on.
It sounds like Spinal Tap. Is that
the band? Yeah. It might have been Spinal Tap. Yeah. Awesome. Well done. Okay. Second last and last question kind of are a little bit linked in this one.
Okay.
Australian music.
Fantastic.
Yeah, music's getting a bit of airtime here. The Fisher song, Stop It, features what soul line throughout the song as a chorus?
What soul line?
Only one line in the whole song.
Oh,
you know how like it'll be like right about now the in like a where that's they just remix on that. One line in the song Stop It, what is it?
Okay. I thought you meant soul line as in like soul music.
No, no.
Only one line. I have no idea, but it's Stop It, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know this song.
There's no logical like you'll know this line from a recent song, basically, but
The
line doesn't really have any relevance to...
Just stop it. I'm going to say...
A very tenuous link, perhaps.
I'm going to say the line is... No, it's like... Okay, what if it's something annoying and it's like, oh, stop it, stop saying that. And I'm just playing it over and over. I'm going to say... maybe something sort of pop. Let's say, I feel so untouched right now. And it just loops that.
That would be awesome, and I would listen to that. This song, I swear, I could not escape on a night out not too long ago.
Yeah.
Moving up and down, side to side, like a roller coaster. Have you heard that song?
No, what is that?
Really?
No, my pop music knowledge is very bad, and Sam, my housemate, makes fun of me a lot for
Thank goodness you haven't been dragged along to, like, nightclubs like I have.
How does it, what's the rhythm, like, how does it actually go?
moving up and down, side to side, like a roller coaster.
And it's just that over and over again.
Well, not over, like, I mean, there's like DJing in the middle. I don't know.
Yeah, could mix it up.
Okay. Nah, well, a bit of a miss on that one.
That's all right.
Yeah, last one. So that was about a song called Stop It. This one's about a song called I Don't Like It.
Mm-hmm.
Was a song which ranked 58th in the 1998 Triple J's Hottest 100 Countdown. What Australian produced this one hit wonder?
Well, I actually don't know if it is a one hit wonder, because I think he actually had a second song. But
there is a second song by this artist, but I think everyone,
it's the way...
I think everyone's agreed that this, no one's paying to see this artist live.
No, I think this person's actually an academic. I think they're like a lecturer at UNSW. Anyway, we can go back to that, but it's the way you mess my words around, I don't like it. And it's Pauline Pants Down, because it's a parody of Pauline Hanson, and it's just like, there were probably before the days of the internet when it's quite novel and maybe difficult to like do this kind of thing, like remixing what people have said into songs. Like, I feel like you could do that on GarageBand in 5 seconds these days, but maybe in the 90s it was a little bit more, or 2000s was maybe a bit more novel. I'm going to say Pauline Pants Down. I forget the actual guy's name. I feel like it's like Simon something, maybe. I don't remember, but is that correct?
That's Professor Simon to you.
Okay, Professor Simon.
Absolutely, you're right. It's Pauline Pants Down. And Pauline Pantsdown actually ran for the Senate under the name Pauline Pantsdown. Changed the name by deed poll and everything for a bit.
Wow.
As a spoof. And Pauline Pantsdown's father is actually a very senior judge in the New South Wales Supreme Court.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, you knew it was from that Pauline Pantsdown's from an academic family.
Yeah, yeah, smart.
Owing to your knowledge of Pauline Pantsdown, Van Halen, Indian donut palettes, and... George H.W. Bush's hatred of broccoli, you've picked up 3.5 points in that round.
So, I'm in the lead by 0.5 point as we head into round three.
Ooh, yeah.
Round three.
Your category for round three, Harley, is Taylors and Taylors. So, Taylor the name, and Taylor, like, the seamstress, or seamster? Is that what a male seamstress is?
Presumably.
Yeah. Well, anyway, someone who alters clothing. What am I hearing questions about in round three?
In round three... Yep. Are you hearing questions about holidays?
Very interesting. I have no memory of requesting that as a category.
Taylors and Taylors I have a vague memory of, and I'm now going, I should have researched this.
It was a fun category to write about. Question one. The 2020 film We Can Be Heroes is an appropriately titled sequel to which 2005 film whose two title characters were portrayed by actors named Taylor? An appropriately titled sequel... to a 2005 film, and the sequel is called We Can Be Heroes. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking I should have requested another category.
Too late.
We Can Be Heroes, 2005 film about maybe wannabe superheroes, what Taylors were big around them. Taylor Lautner, but I think Taylor Lautner might have been a bit later. What other... A female Taylor, perhaps. I don't know who the other Taylor could be.
There are two title characters. I think you should clue into that.
Oh!
So there's two title characters. We're both called Taylor. So it's...
Title actors? Actors who played the...
The actors were called Taylor. And there are two title characters in this movie.
So it's like Batman and Robin.
Like that kind of thing. Yeah.
I know... Taylor Lautner was Shark Boy, right? So I reckon it's Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
Man,
and they made a sequel to that, didn't they?
I've absolutely led you to that one.
That's correct. And we did see that at cinemas.
It's The Adventures of Shark Boy and Lava Girl in 3D. The film is a standalone sequel, We Can Be Heroes, which means it exists in the same universe, but it doesn't have any like narrative connection.
Right.
Like, it's not like, you know, that's what happens exactly after Shark Boy and Lava Girl. In We Can Be Heroes, the children of superheroes must work together to fight alien invaders who have captured their parents. Taylor Lautner and Taylor Dooley respectively portrayed Sharkboy and Lava Girl in the 2005 film, with Dooley making an appearance in the second. And in We Can Be Heroes, Christopher McDonald, otherwise known as Shooter McGavin from Happy Gilmore, plays the American president. So, mate, if that doesn't make you rush out and watch We Can Be Heroes, I just don't know what will. Question two. A figure of international significance between 1963 and 1969, by what name is the woman born Claudia Alta Taylor better known?
63 and 69, I'm thinking there was a fair bit going on at that point, but ending in 69 was a lot of civil rights stuff, mm-hmm. I think. And I mean, Rosa Parks was, didn't need a stage name or anything.
Yeah.
But a lot of the Black Panthers had, you know, entirely unrelated names. So like people like Geronimo Pratt.
Right.
And Pratt was a common last name for them. No. Shakur was a last name for them.
For the Black Panther people in the Black
Panther? I think so, yeah. Okay. And like, I don't want to be entirely, hate to be entirely off on the wrong vein, but I know Asada Shakur was like a very influential female member of the Black Panthers.
Okay.
And that would be around that period. I'm going to go with Asada Shakur.
Look, your reasoning, you're in the right ballpark because it's American, but it was Lady Bird Johnson. So her maiden name was Taylor,
yeah.
And her first name is Claudia by birth. She wasn't christened Lady Bird. The nickname Lady Bird was suggested by Johnson's nursemaid when she was a child.
Right, okay.
So she was a figure of international significance in that specific time period because that was when her husband Lyndon Johnson was the president. And as First Lady, Johnson is remembered for her work on the US government's Head Start program, which was designed to help meet the needs of disadvantaged children, and for campaigning for the so-called beautification of the environment. All right, question three. Just as the surname Taylor likely originates from descendants who worked tailoring clothes, and the surname Cooper from those who worked making barrels, what now largely defunct occupation might the descendants of someone with the surname Wainwright have had?
Wainwright?
Yeah, what's a Wainwright?
Well, a wright is someone who fixes something, I would think.
Okay.
A cartwright surely fixed carts at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne, I'm in a mental conundrum right here, and I'll talk you through it.
Okay.
I'm thinking Wayne might have something to do with liquid and might have something to do with water supply, but that also might be because of the one of the best bands of all time,
Fountains of Wainwright.
So I think that's a bit of a red herring that my brain has given me.
Okay.
Wainwright fixes.
And it's now a largely defunct profession, if that helps. So it's probably not
so
someone.
It's not
that,
like a plumber.
Yeah, well, it's maybe you're not calling up a Wainwright when you have an issue in your day to day these days, but maybe back in the day.
But largely defunct. I'm going to say a stonemason because there are stonemasons left, but back when everything was made of stone, a lot more important. Yep.
So you kind of got a part of the way there because a wright is someone who makes something.
Makes, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So you were kind of, you were on the right lines. It's actually a wagon maker. Yeah.
So I said it, but in relation to another
name. Yeah, you said cartwright, which is like a cart, which I don't know if that name comes, I would assume that it comes from someone who made carts. But yeah, a Wainwright is a wagon maker. The only fact I have about that is Rufus Wainwright performed a cover of Hallelujah on the Shrek soundtrack.
Great.
So that's
so shout out to all the Wainwrights out there.
Yeah, Martha Wainwright as well. Another singer. Yeah,
I more meant the people that are making wagons.
Oh, these days, probably still some people.
I've actually got a wagon question in the next topic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh wow. Well, the Amish probably still use wagons.
A Wainwright.
Mate, Wainwright's gone gangbusters in Amish country, I reckon. Successful as. All right. So moving on to question four. This was written by my housemate, Sam. So, big shout out to him. We use one of his microphones to record the podcast. So, this is his contribution for Taylors and Taylors. From four guesses, name any three of Taylor Swift's nine exes since 2008. I'll give you half points if you can name two. And if you want to yell out to tell Sam that you don't like the question, he's in his room.
No, I do like the question.
Really? Do you know some of her exes?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, I know her current boyfriend.
Who's that?
Travis Kelce, right?
Well done, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The big fella. Okay, 2008. The number one, which was hilarious at the time, was Taylor Lautner. And I think that might be double points because it's also Taylor.
Jeez, he's getting a good run today, Taylor Lautner, isn't he?
He is, yeah. Lots of airtime. And it was funny because everyone was like, if they got married, they'd both be Taylor Lautner. And you know what's hilarious? He married a woman called Taylor.
Is she called Taylor Lautner now?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Taylor Lautner's one of them. Okay, that's points I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Styles is one of them because the song Style is reportedly about her.
Wow. Okay.
Boom.
Wait, he wrote a song called Style.
No, she has a song called Style.
Okay.
She
has a song called.
She talks about a man who has James Dean daydream looks in his eyes.
He does look a little bit like James Dean.
Yep.
It's not
that far.
No.
She didn't say that he looked like, you know, Napoleon or Henry the Eighth or anything.
Acts like Napoleon, yeah. Napoleon was one of them. okay, Matt, but...
I've got to say, you're doing a lot better with this than I thought. I thought you might really struggle here, but you seem to have a lot of knowledge about celebrity relationships.
I mean, but every song that's been on the radio recently is about an ex of Taylor Lautner.
That's
so
true.
Who is the song We Are Never Getting Back Together about?
Yeah, that could help.
I'm just going to say, like... I'm just going to give a generic name, no last name. I'm going to say, like, Bill.
That's a young, hot man's name, Bill.
Yeah, Bill, no. So, I'm just going to go with Charlie Puth, because he is roughly that kind of era of pop star who she might date or even just date for, like, the clout.
Yeah.
And my best mate, Shawn Mendes, is the last one. But he's probably a little young, but they're my four guesses. Taylor Lautner, Harry Styles, Charlie Puth, Shawn Mendes.
Some people say you look like Shawn Mendes, mate.
That's not going on air. You can cut me.
All right. So, you've gotten two right. So, you're getting half points. So... I would have accepted any three of these in chronological order. Joe Jonas.
Okay, yep.
Taylor Lautner. John Mayer. Jake Gyllenhaal, who I believe We Are Never Getting Back Together maybe is about. I think one of her big songs is about Jake Gyllenhaal.
Right.
Connor Kennedy.
Who's that?
No idea. Harry Styles. Calvin Harris. Tom Hiddleston.
Okay.
Or Joe Alwyn. So Joe Alwyn and Taylor Swift dated between 2016 and March 2023. So he was like a longest running expert. And like you say... now famously dating NFL player Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
So you've done pretty well there, mate. Two out of three is pretty good. So question five is your last one in Taylor and Taylor's, and this is your last ditch to really like take a bit of a lead before we head into my last
thing.
So you got to make the most of this question here. During a 1998 Test match against Pakistan, Australian captain Mark Taylor famously declared his side's innings was closed when he was not out on 334. So he would not surpass Donald Bradman's record for best individual test innings by an Australian. Since then, two Australian batters have bested that record.
Mm-hmm.
Name either from two guesses.
I know one of them.
Do you?
380 not out, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
By Hayden. Mark Hayden was his name, I think.
Okay.
I reckon I can go with for the last name Hayden. And then I remember watching the last one. And it was someone who we weren't really expecting it from. You know, it wasn't like a Ricky Ponting or something. I don't think it was either of the Marshes. It might have been Clark when he was out. Like, when he was sort of a bit over the hill a little bit, it was like, wow, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like Shane Warne or anyone either. But if it's not Mark Hayden, I am thinking of the person that it is. Because I remember this was a stat of 380...
Yeah.
I remember it in a fact book we had as a kid, and I remember a photo of him hitting it with a 380, and then it was like, there was some side note about the whole Taylor
this
thing.
Fact,
am I allowed to just go the last name Hayden?
Yeah.
I'm not a sports journo.
Jeopardy rules, we can go last name if you want to look at
Hayden. Hayden and Clark.
Okay. So, I'm going to give you points. Very generous. Matthew Hayden is the bloke's name.
I said Mark.
You're close.
M. Hayden.
Mark Taylor.
Oh, that's what did it to me.
Yeah. So Matthew Hayden, you're correct, holds the record for best test innings by an Australian, which is 380 against Zimbabwe at the Wacker in October 2003, which at the time was the best innings by any player in test history.
Mm-hmm.
West Indies batter Brian Lara later broke that with an unbeaten 400. Wow. And the other person to surpass Mark Taylor and Donald Bradman was... OLED TV salesman turned cricketer David Warner.
David Warner, okay.
Who made 335 not out against Pakistan in Adelaide in 2019. That all leads us to my last round here. What will I be hearing questions about again?
You'll be hearing questions about holidays.
Fantastic.
Holidays. Now, the first one's, you know, short and punchy, and I don't even have a fact to go with it.
Okay.
But I feel like it's the kind of trivia that a trivia aficionado should know.
Okay. Pressure's on then.
How many nights and days... is Hanukkah celebrated for?
Oh, jeez. Oh, no. You're right. This is the kind of thing I probably should know, and I don't.
Really?
And I have, not to sound like someone defending their racist comments, but I have so many Jewish friends that I should know this.
Mm.
Oh, no. Is it, like, bad if I just say seven, like, a week? I feel like it's a bit longer than that, perhaps. Oh, jeez, this can be very embarrassing. I'm going to just put everyone out of their misery, and I'm going to guess... I think it's eight.
8 is correct.
Oh, no way.
It is. Can I just get a score? What was I at the end of last round? So how many do you need to get?
So just to clarify, you got 2.5 in Taylors and Taylors. So you're on 8.5.
Yeah. And you're now on 7.5.
Okay, right. So I need to get at least one right to tie it up. And then potentially 2 out of the next 4 to win again. Okay, yeah.
Next question. Which 2 Australian states neglect to celebrate the King's birthday on the second Monday in June along with the rest of the country?
Ooh. That's interesting. And it's states, not territories?
It's states. So, okay. I'm not sure. Half marks? Okay, half marks for one.
Maybe, yeah.
What's that? Like, you need to get
two out of six. Like, it's kind of not that hard. I should probably be able to get this. All right, well, New South Wales, you can rule that out. That's where we live.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure they do celebrate it in Victoria as well, I reckon. Queensland.
It's not that these states don't celebrate it. It's they don't celebrate it. They celebrate in June.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Well, look, I'm gonna put Victoria as celebrating it. Queensland, sort of a bit renegade sort of state, I reckon. Queensland, and Western Australia. They kind of just do their own thing, I reckon. I'm gonna. Oh, yeah, but South Australia potentially as well. I feel like South Australia doesn't do daylight
savings. What about Tassie? Don't forget Tasmania.
I can't forget Tasmania, actually.
No, there's some weird states once you leave New South Wales. Yeah, it's a big country.
Big country out there. But I feel like Tasmania and Victoria maybe sort of like, you know, do their own thing together. I reckon they're a team, those two. You know, Tasmania is like the wily sidekick. I'm going to say Western Australia and Queensland are the likeliest to be like contrarians. So I'm going to say Western Australia and Queensland.
Yeah, absolutely correct.
Oh, okay. Get in.
So, Queensland...
My sweeping assessment of those two states is correct as always.
So, Queensland celebrates it when New South Wales has Labor Day most years.
Okay, right.
And...
In October. The October long weekend.
I didn't even write that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's October,
yeah. Yeah, that's
like the weekend. First weekend of October.
Grand final weekend, yeah.
Yeah, and WA celebrates it as proclaimed by the Governor General.
Right, so just whenever.
There's only like a couple of weeks. You're right. Yeah, they do it. But that's the official stipulation. The Governor General picks it in WA.
Wow.
Cool. So, okay. Now, the next question is from Forbes magazine. They use the word vacation. We use the word holiday.
Yeah.
What is the only oceanic destination on the Forbes top 20 places to travel in the world in 2023?
The only, like, ocean...
In Oceania.
Okay, right. You
know, and some of the other... examples of the Statue of Liberty. Some of them are cities. Yep. Some of them are places. Some of them are like the Mona Lisa at the Louvre is one of
interesting,
them.
Interesting. Okay.
The Taj Mahal is one of them. You know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah. So yeah. It's not necessarily like Sydney. It could be like a specific thing.
One of the So it's not, you know. Anyway.
Well, something I would say is I feel like interest in traveling to the Cook Islands has gone up a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that as my answer. I don't think, because that's kind of niche for Forbes to be writing about, but. I will just say, I feel like the Cook Islands is on the up.
Mm. You know why?
Why?
Well, I hate to plug a competing airline, but Jetstar have started flying there fairly recently, and they've already upped their frequency.
Yeah, okay.
So it used to be in Air New Zealand, like very occasionally, like once a week kind of thing, and now it's Jetstar, I think like 4 or 5 times a week.
I do think often these sorts of lists don't really rate Sydney. Like, I think they're kind of like... Adelaide is the most livable city in Australia. Yeah, yeah. Or like Melbourne is actually the place you should go if you really want to see Australia. You know what I mean? I feel like they often dismiss Sydney a little bit. Although I do reckon the Great Barrier Reef could be in with a shout because obviously, tragically, climate change is affecting the Great Barrier Reef quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's the kind of thing that it's like, you should probably see the Great Barrier Reef sooner rather than later. In terms of the Pacific beyond that, I can't... I mean,
Oceania.
Oceania. Like, I'm thinking maybe Fiji, because that's obviously quite a popular tourist destination. I'm gonna say the Great Barrier Reef is my guess.
I love the logic.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, it's Bora Bora in French Polynesia.
Okay, I could see that. I mean, that's, I think, quite sort of idyllic holiday vibes.
It's, a very American place to, like, dream of holiday.
Yeah, okay.
No, it's Bora Bora, French Polynesia. But the list has got some questionable ones, in my opinion. It's got, like, the Burj Khalifa.
I've been there, I'm like, crap.
And it had Niagara Falls, which is awesome, but I don't...
Oh, mate,
you know,
Niagara Falls is pretty good.
Yeah.
Top 20?
The places I really like, didn't feature on that list.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am an authority.
Yeah.
So,
thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what you do at the Burj Khalifa other than go, wow, that's really tall, and think about the bit in Mission Impossible 4 when Tom Cruise climbs it.
Yeah. As paid for probably by the Emirate of Dubai.
Yeah. I would have thought so. Yeah. All right. So, okay. I'm still searching for this point to take the game out because I've dropped that one there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, he was a notorious gambler,
yep.
a legendary gunfighter,
wow.
and a frontier wild man. But Doc Holliday left what respectable profession in Georgia?
Doc, I mean, with a name like Doc, you reckon he's maybe a doctor? I don't know. I think it's one of those ones in trivia. I'm a big believer in if you don't know and you don't guess the most obvious answer, you feel a bit silly. So, I mean, on no advice other than that, I'm going to go with doctor. Because, yeah, if I say, like, if I try and be a bit, like, fancy, like, he was a blacksmith or, like, a Wainwright. Wait a minute. You said that was going to be a wacky question. Mate.
I'm not doing that to you. It was not a Wainwright.
Because you said there's gonna be wagons, and we're running out of time for wagons. Okay.
This is the wagon question for sure, but the wagon part comes in like the fun facts. Okay, then.
Are you a wagon wheels fan, by the way? Like the.
I haven't had one in years. Like the
biscuit?
Marshmallow.
Yeah, the marshmallow is jam biscuit.
No, but come on, you're stalling here. Oh, you're stalling.
Okay, sorry. Look, I'm gonna say he's a doctor.
I don't know if I give you half points for this. He was a dentist.
Oh, okay. Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah, look, I thought you might know this because he's like a legend of the Wild West.
Yeah,
he's up there with, you know, Butch Cassidy.
Yeah.
What
was frontier dentistry like, though?
No, well, he wasn't a dentist in the frontier.
Oh,
he was
sure,
a dentist
okay.
in Georgia. He was diagnosed with tuberculosis. And he was told he needed to move to the dry Western climate to help cure it, which was quite a common thing for them to do. Well, not to cure, but to alleviate it.
Yeah.
And
so he didn't practice at all, like in the Wild West as a dentist.
No. But I think it's quite common that like he left this like Georgia was like a very refined place to live.
Yeah.
He was a dentist. He was well educated.
Yeah.
He left to be like a gambling gunfighter
who
they like was rumored to have shot like over 10 people and killed them. Modern researchers reckon 1 or 2, 3 at max.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah.
There's plaque and them there too. All right. I just wanted to say that. Let's move on.
Okay, so for the game...
Oh my gosh.
For the victory...
For the win.
To avoid a tie, I wish we had like a sudden death question. That would be so
good. Yeah. How should we organise that in future?
Does it... I don't know. Do we go for a break, write a question based on one of them?
You know what? Sam, who is having a shower right now, and perhaps you can hear that. Maybe we get him to, maybe we get Sam to
full context, different room with the shower.
Oh, yeah, so it's not on purpose,
I think that sounds good. But, I mean, it all might be a moot point, depending on your knowledge of the next song.
Okay.
We at the Hotel Motel Holiday Inn is a line chanted repeatedly in Pitbull's 2009 Sensation Hotel Room Service.
Mm-hmm.
It pays homage to what earlier song?
I reckon it's like an early rap song. Like, as we said, cool music, not my forte.
I don't know if we're accusing Pitbull of being cool.
I am. I'm accusing him of being cool. I reckon this is like Sugar Hill Gang sort of area. Hotel, motel, holiday. Yeah. It's not Rapper's Delight, but I think it's like something of that sort of like era, maybe. Harley's covering his face with his hands so as not to give anything away. After I so graciously gifted him the Shark Boy and Lava Girl question.
This is high stakes.
This is high stakes. I just don't know, if we're honest. And this was a looking, like Sportsbet was paying me as the favourite probably about 10 minutes ago in this and managed to bottle it. I'm going to say it's like Chris, what's it called? Like Jump Around or something, or like, yeah, I reckon it could be Jump Around. That's what I'm going to go with.
Mate, looks like we're going to sudden death.
Tie break?
In Heartbreaking Circumstances, because it is Rapper's Delight by the Sugar
no!
Hill Gang.
The, no!
The line is... I can't even remember the line now. Just the sensation of this has gotten so much to me. But it's sung by Big Bang Hank, one of the members of the Sugar Hill Gang, and it's something like, Hotel, Motel, what you gonna do today?
Oh, and it's like, if your girl starts acting up, then you tag her friend? Is it that line?
Yeah, it's that line. Yeah,
no!
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
Like, it's in that verse, yeah. So, heartbreaking, but it looks like we're going to the inaugural sudden death of Champ vs. Chump.
Wow, I'm stunned.
Giddy up, it's trivia time.
So, we've done a little bit of number bashing, and we've called on Sam, housemate Sam, who's become a bit of a main character in this episode, I have to say, between writing the Taylor's question and now writing this tiebreak question that will decide the game here on Champ or Chump. 8.5 all tiebreak is going to be decided now. And the question that Sam has given us is, how many confirmed plays did William Shakespeare write?
Mm.
All right, so we've both had a bit of a couple minutes to ponder that, and we've written our answers down.
Mm-hmm.
Harley, how many have you guessed?
I'm going to pass it to you to read, because I want...
Okay.
I think this is
full authenticity. Okay.
Yep. It's been typed on an iPad, because I'm a bit of a sticky iPad
child. Okay, so Harley's written 21... And I've written down 26.
Oh.
So it's pretty close.
See, I was going to write 24 initially.
Oh, okay. Sam, what's the correct answer?
37.
Well done.
And I've done a bit of fact checking because there's a few different answers on Google, but they're all about 37 to 39.
So. Okay, so the answer there is 37 to 39, but either way... 26 is the correct answer, so I'm afraid, Harley, for the second week running.
Jasper, you are the champ. Harley, you are the chump.
So that concludes today's episode of Trivia Champ or Trivia Chump. This is why we play the sport, mate. It's for tight contests like this.
Full credit to the boys.
Absolutely, full credit to all of them. And full credit to Sam for writing the tiebreak question. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sam, for
Rainbow
the...
Rainbow Flaps.
Absolutely, he was the MVP today. Harley, any final words before we close things out here?
Mate... I'm just pondering the fact that if I knew more about Stuart Little, I would feel less like Harley belittled.
That's worthy of one of Shakespeare's 37 to 39 plays, that insight there. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Trivia is the real winner here. I think we can all agree.